Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, Mr. Number 518, Team Ministry. We received Brother Haskell's letter the evening after the Sabbath. We were glad to hear from you that your interests are united as one. May the Lord bless this union, that you may be a strength and support to one another at all times. May the peace of God rest upon you, is my sincere desire and earnest prayer. Go stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. Acts 5 verse 20. I am pleased, Brother Haskell, that you have a helper, Mrs. Haskell. This is that which I have desired for some time. The work in which we are engaged has made us one in Christ Jesus to diffuse the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is your privilege to have happiness in your new relation to each other, in ministering the gospel to those who are in darkness and error. We can sympathize and unite in the grand work that you and I love, and which is the one great object ever before us, the enlargement of the kingdom of Christ and the celebration of his glory. In everything which relates to this, we are united in the bonds of Christian fellowship, in companionship with heavenly intelligences. We are never alone. We can never put forth the least effort for the advancement of the work of God in our world, but the act thrills through all the universe of heaven and makes us co-laborers with God, united with the heavenly principalities and powers. All our sympathies are absorbed. Thus our strength and efficiency are to be united in the design of Christ as his agents connected with the great firm to secure other agencies and combine them with those already in operation, to restore the moral image of God and man. Because of the light given me, I am fully possessed with the conviction that through your united agencies, as sanctified instrumentalities, light shall be reflected to the salvation of many souls that are now in darkness and error. I know you have not lived unto yourselves, but unto him whom you love and whom you serve and worship. Each angel is at his post, waiting for the cooperation of human channels to give efficiency and power to the truth in the restoration of fallen man. This was Christ's work. This is our work. The angels of God are to be regarded as ever present with the interested, consecrated worker, perpetually stimulating, strengthening, and encouraging the efforts of the laborers on earth. By the eye of faith we are fighting in view of the whole universe of heaven. There is plenty of help and strength for us in God, for the heavenly agencies are mighty. Their divine influence is with all we do and all we say to advance the glory of God. These agencies are abundantly mighty. Their efforts with human endeavors and through the medium of our faith will shed a softening and subduing influence upon our course of action. In the economy of God, all the powers of heaven cooperate with the wholehearted, earnest workers in this world in carrying forward his design in saving the lost. The claim of relationship and mutual influence not only passes from one member to another of the church militant, but through all the family of heaven, uniting both worlds for the saving of a perishing world. One thing I know, if we humble our hearts before God, if we seek to abide in Christ, we shall have a higher, holier experience. There will be a cementing of heart unto heart. This is not to say that our brethren are to step exactly in our footprints. True faith in God will lead us to understand that each is a worker. We are not to hold ourselves in our own hands. We are to drop self into the hands of God. We have been losing our faith in place of increasing it. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16 verses 17 and 18. This is a small part of that which the Lord has revealed to me. Our lack of faith is the reason that we have not seen more of the power of God. We exercise more faith in our own working than in God's working for us. God designs that everything possible shall be done to enable us to stand heart to heart, mind to mind, shoulder to shoulder. This lack of love and confidence in one another weakens our faith in God. We need to pray as we never have prayed before for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for, if there was ever a time when we needed this baptism, it is now. There is nothing the Lord has more frequently told us he would bestow upon us, and nothing by which his name would be more glorified in bestowing, than the Holy Spirit. When we partake of this Spirit, men and women will be born again. There will be a firm pressing together. A firm, unwavering faith in God will be seen. The Son of Righteousness will be in our midst, with healing in his wings. Souls once lost will be found, and brought back and kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When we reflect Christ's image, we shall love one another as he has loved us. We shall not love as we love our neighbor, but as Christ loved us. It is an advance to love as Christ loved. This is the perfection of Christian character. When we can say, "My will is wholly submerged in God's will," then peace and rest come in. We must have that love, else we cannot be perfect before God. We may be active, we may do much work, but unless we love as Christ loved, our candlestick will be removed out of its place. We have little enough of Christ's character. We need it all through our ranks. We must reveal that love which dwelt in Jesus. Then we shall keep the commandment, that we love one another, which not one in 100 of those who claim to believe the truth for this time are keeping. Perfect unity must exist in a diversity of gifts. A union of all the gifts is essential. The one great commandment Christ has given is a new commandment. It reaches beyond loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are to love one another. "As I," said Christ, "have loved you." This experience must be obtained by every child of God. All must blend together in the work, thus making the work not one-sided, but a complete whole. Now, my sister, I must write to you. I have before spoken to you in regard to the spirit of criticism which you have cherished. By indulging this spirit, you do great harm to yourself and the servants of God. The Lord is displeased with you because you exalt yourself and depreciate others whom he loves and whom he has chosen to do his special work. He has his appointed agencies through whom he works. Your words were of a character to belittle the servant of God. It is the attribute of Satan to criticize, to accuse, to disparage. I love you both. I am your friend, and shall be ever ready to help you if I can. You and your wife must link together in the work, strengthening one another. Show a firm, undeviating trust in God. Be ever true to principle. Waver not, speak decidedly that which you know to be truth, and leave the consequences with God. I think of you, but it is with pleasure, because you are, I believe, and am assured, in your going to America at this time, doing the will of God, and may the Lord sustain and bless you at every step. The Lord has the people in our churches in America, and they have become, some of them, discouraged and confused. But talk the truth. The third angel's message is to go forth with power, and will pierce the moral darkness black as velvet. Walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, and then you have light and comfort and love and power from your best friend. Oh, it is such a privilege. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4 verse 14. We need more faith. The bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness will disperse every dark cloud. May the Lord Jesus abundantly bless you, my brother and my sister. I miss you very much, but remain until your work is done. Then we will welcome you back again, for there is a large work for you to do. How comforting it is to know that we do not need to stumble our way along in midnight darkness. Light is sown for the righteous, and truth and gladness for the upright in heart. I have also been shown that the women who labor with their husbands should be paid for their time. God says, "I hate robbery for burnt offerings." Those who present the idea that the blind, the deaf, the lame, the deformed, will not receive the seal of God, are not speaking words given them by the Holy Spirit. There is much suffering in our world. To some, suffering and disease have been transmitted as an inheritance. Others suffer because of accidents. Cause and effect are always in operation in our world, and always will be. It is not our service to pray that colored hair shall become black, or that gray hair, which God pronounces honorable, shall become black. Those who set their minds laboring in this direction are not following on to know the Lord. They are starting in a course which will lead to the greatest, most God-dishonoring fanaticism. Our work is to form new habits of thought. Through faith in Christ we can do this. Natural propensities are to be controlled. Selfish inclinations are to be denied. Again and again some things hostile to grace and reform will start into life. Again and again we shall be called into the conflict to fight against hereditary tendencies to do wrong. What shall ministers teach the people? Certainly not fables. Certainly not their own foolish imaginings, which would put a yoke grievous to be borne upon the necks of poor souls. Such a yoke Christ has not formed. It galls, it brings unrest, disquietude, and discouragement. Bearing Christ's yoke brings rest, peace, obedience, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. No one in this world is exempt from calamity, from misfortune and affliction. But if our hearts are washed in the blood of the Lamb, however poor and afflicted we may be, we are privileged to see in anticipation the joy that will be ours in heaven. Then let God's promises be received and enjoyed by faith. Let none of God's people believe the fables advanced by some regarding the color of the hair. The idea that persons who are deformed must be healed in order to be saved is the fable originated by someone who needs inward cleansing before he can receive the seal of God. In the great day of God, all who are faithful and true will receive the healing touch of the divine restorer. The life giver will remove every deformity and will give them eternal life. It is not the men who are apparently the most eloquent. It is not the young men who do not reveal the sanctification of the truth, who are the most efficacious in sowing the seed and gathering the harvest. The Lord has placed you in New York City as His workmen to give the message to the people, saying, "Come, for all things are now ready." Dear brother and sister Haskell, I am so glad that God manifests through you His power and His grace in favor of the truth. I hope that you will be sustained and strengthened and blessed. And you surely will be if you walk humbly with God. Be of good courage. God's providence will certainly open your way and give you precious victories. It is our duty to place ourselves where God has signified we should be. He was in your going to New York City, working just as you have been working for those not of our faith. You are to work as Christ worked. He labored in the synagogues, and he went from place to place, meeting the people where he could, in their homes, at the seaside, in the highways and byways. Our manner of working must be after God's order. The work that is done for God in our large cities must not be according to man's devising. The workers are never to make an idol of self, but are to put on Christ Jesus, all working harmoniously. Brother Haskell, as you engage in the work in New York City, you should have the help of the best workers that can be secured. Let a center for God's work be made in that wicked city. How shall the Lord's work be done? In every place that is entered, a solid foundation is to be laid for permanent work. The Lord's methods are to be followed. It is not for you to be intimidated by outward appearances, however forbidding they may be. It is for you to carry forward the work as the Lord has said that it should be carried forward. Preach the word, and the Lord by His Holy Spirit will send conviction to the minds of the hearers. The word is, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Mark 16 verse 20. The other workers are to act their part, doing house-to-house work, giving Bible readings in the families. They are to show their growth and grace by their submission to the will of Christ. Thus they will gain a rich experience. As in faith they receive, believe, and obey Christ's words, the efficiency of the Holy Spirit will be seen in their life work. There will be seen an intensity of earnest effort. There will be cherished faith that works by love and purifies the soul. The fruit of the Spirit will appear in the life. The miracle-working power of Christ's grace is revealed in the creation in man of a new heart, a higher life, a holy enthusiasm. It is your defect to have little love in your heart for your brethren. If you were more expressive on this point, and had the spirit of the aged servant of God, John, whose heart of love was exercised toward his brethren, you would so enclose yourself in their affections that all jealousy would be discouraged. Do not put on the garments of heaviness and distrust and lack of confidence in your brethren. Get the victory here, and then you will have swept away a great barrier between yourself and them. Create an atmosphere for yourself that is fragrant. The great ignorance on Bible subjects makes it very essential that house-to-house labor be done. An increase of the knowledge of God among the people and the heartfelt, humble prayers that they send to heaven are of more value than public discourses. This is a work that is precious in the sight of God and in the estimation of the people. The good example set in words and deeds will tell to the glory of God. The Lord has wonderfully opened the way before you, and given you evidences of His great love and care. Now praise Him, and do not reveal a weakness that shall hurt your influence. Help those who have not had the experience you have had, by encouraging words, as a father, and let them help you. You can help one another. We must remember that the enemy will seek to discourage every one who is a worker together with God. I am instructed to tell you that God loves you, and He would have you express your love to Him. Work with your brethren. Unite with them all you possibly can. When you get so weary that you feel full of care and worry and self-pity, just go apart and rest a while. Do not worry yourself out of the arms of Jesus. I was saying to you that there is danger of expecting too much of persons who have not had experience in mission work. Be careful, in such a place as New York City, to get quietness as much as possible. Do not require the mind to be kept on the strain constantly, but have some periods for rest. Your head must not be allowed to become overtaxed. and Sister Haskell must not feel it her duty to pledge herself to so much work that she cannot be with her husband more than she is. Elder Haskell and wife, we have no warnings to give you to stimulate zeal and earnestness. You could not look upon this field, or upon any field in its destitution, without putting your shoulder to the wheel. But the light given me from God is, that you need to consider that if you would serve the work, you must not disqualify yourselves physically or morally by overdoing. Keep fresh, that you may educate others how to work, and do not get discouraged because you cannot carry the whole load. The Lord does not place upon you burdens so heavy that you cannot carry them without sacrificing your mental, moral, and spiritual capabilities. One worker may be a ready speaker, another a ready writer, another may have the gift of sincere, earnest, fervent prayer, another the gift of singing. Another may have special power to explain the Word of God with clearness. And each gift is to become a power for God because he works with the laborer. To one God gives the word of wisdom, to another knowledge, to another faith. But all are to work under the same head. The diversity of gifts leads to a diversity of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. The Lord has brought you through many trying, difficult places. And he has given you the opportunity of laboring in connection with your wife. He has given her to you to help you, to be one with you, to have a care for you in her stronger physical strength. The Lord has given Sister Haskell a knowledge of the Scriptures, so that, at the times when you are called away for a season of rest, she is able to take your place. I can see that the good hand of the Lord has been with you. He will uphold you by his strong arm, saying, "Lean on me. I will be your strength and your exceeding great reward." The work in Greater New York is to be carried on in a way that will properly represent the sacredness and holiness of the truth of God. Vegetarian restaurants, treatment rooms, cooking schools are to be established. The people are to be taught how to prepare wholesome food. They are to be educated by showing the need of discarding tea, coffee, and flesh meat. There are to be suitable furnished rooms where people can be received and given religious instruction. In this work, a variety of gifts will be used. Some will labor in one way, some in another. The Lord desires the cities to be worked by the united efforts of laborers of different capabilities. All are to look to Jesus for direction, not depending on man for wisdom, lest they shall be led astray. He to whom the Lord has given a commission is not to submerge his identity in any human being. God declares, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." James 1 verses 5-8. There are many classes of people to reach, and no one is to feel, when another worker is sent to the place where he is working, that he will counterwork what he is doing. Elder E. Frank's gifts will be needed in the camp meetings, where he can do a work that God has chosen him to do. God designs that New York shall be stirred. He has a message for this wicked city. We know not what he will do to arouse it, but he will provide means. He knows what is best. Human judgment often makes mistakes, but the Lord Jesus never makes a mistake. I have faith that the loud cry is to be heard in Greater New York. The workers in New York must act their several parts, making every effort to bring the best results. They are to talk faith and present the truth in such a way that it will impress the people. They are not to narrow the work down to their own particular ideas. In the past, too much of this has been done by us the people, and it has been a drawback to the success of the work. Everywhere we go, we meet the inclination to make this mistake. Let us remember that God has different ways of working, that he has different workmen, to whom he entrusts different gifts. We are to see his purpose in sending certain men to certain places. God desires to use such gifts as Elder Frank has in arousing the cities. There are in these cities those who can be aroused by no ordinary methods. God wants us to help one another, by the manifestation of sympathy and unselfish love. There are those who have inherited peculiar tempers and dispositions. They may be hard to deal with, but are we faultless? They are not to be disparaged. Their errors are not to be made common property. Christ pities and helps those who err in judgment. He has suffered death for every man, and because of this, he has a touching and profound interest in every man. A man may be trying to serve God, but temptations from within and from without assail him. Satan and his angels urge and coax him to transgress, and perhaps he falls a prey to their temptings. How then do his brethren treat him? Do they speak harsh, cutting words, driving him farther from the Savior? What a sad sight for Christ and the angels to behold! Let us remember that we are struggling and toiling, failing in speech and action to represent Christ, falling and rising again, despairing and hoping. Let us beware of dealing unkindly with those who, like ourselves, are subject to temptation, and who, like ourselves also, are the objects of Christ's unchanging love. It is by the Lord's order that his servants have varied gifts. It is by his appointment that men of varied minds are brought into the church, to be laborers together with him. We have many different minds to meet, and different gifts are needed. God's servants are to work in perfect harmony. I thank the Lord that we are not all exactly the same, while we are all to have the same Spirit, the Spirit that dwelt in Christ. The Apostle John was not the same as the Apostle Peter. Each was to subdue his peculiarities and soften his temperament, that they might help each other, through belief in and sanctification of the truth. Is Christ divided? No. Christ abiding in the soul will not quarrel with Christ in another soul. We must learn to bear with the peculiarities of those around us. If our will is under the control of Christ's will, how can we be at variance with our brethren? If we are at variance, we may know that it is because self needs to be crucified. He whom Christ makes free is free indeed. We are not complete in Christ unless we love one another as Christ has loved us. When we do this, as Christ has given us commandment, we shall give evidence that we are complete in him. I am just as anxious to write to you as you are to write to me. This afternoon I received a letter, Sister Haskell, which you sent to St. Helena. Sister Peck sent me the letter you wrote to her. I was very glad indeed to get these letters. Every letter that you have written me has been eagerly perused. You need never fear that I shall not be interested, for I am deeply interested in every crumb of news you send. The Christian graces are given not as ornaments to win admiration, but as talents to be used in accomplishing a work for God. To have the religion of Christ, to have a firm hold from above, this is the privilege of every physician. Every physician who cooperates with the great physician will have skill and aptitude. He will be enabled to minister to the needs of the soul as well as of the body. Physical as well as spiritual health is obtained through pure, unwavering faith in God. Every truly converted physician is the helping hand of God. Through the Holy Spirit's working, he is placed in possession of skill and efficiency. Let him remember that his work is not to glorify himself. All the glory belongs to the Lord. No one has greater need of a living connection with the Lord Jesus than the physician. He should cherish a constant sense of the importance of spiritual things. He cannot afford to be mixed up in common business transactions. He should not load himself down with responsibilities that others can carry. He is to keep his mind pure and clear, free from common worldly business. God will illuminate the minds of those who are willing to be educated by him, those who will hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end. Those who submit to the training of Christ will be led by supreme wisdom. The Lord Jesus has an interest in every phase of his work. I express to you my grief that in some respects mistakes have been made in the distribution of means. When the wages of a missionary who is doing the work that God has appointed him are cut down, it is because a mistake has been made by men who do not always have the mind of Christ. The Lord will make all these things work together for good, even though for the present his servants are inconvenienced and greatly disappointed by being hemmed in on every side. There can be no true prayer without true faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Prayer and faith are the arms by which the soul hangs upon the neck of infinite love and grasps the hand of infinite power. If we take hold of the promises of God, we shall not fail or be discouraged. We must not ask whether we are appreciated or unappreciated. With this we have naught to do. Look at the way in which Christ worked. We received the letter Sister Haskell wrote, and I have read it with much pleasure and interest. I have not felt competent to advise you where to locate, but we have asked the Lord to lead you and to guide you in selecting the right place. We want to encourage that simplicity which will lead us to refer all perplexities to God. Brother and Sister Haskell, let us keep constantly looking on the bright side. Let us talk faith and act faith, and we will have faith. I am glad that you, S. N. Haskell and wife, are carrying forward the work you have undertaken in San Bernardino. I believe that you are working in harmony with the light that has been given to me. In your work you come in contact with people who need to feel a hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Lord's blessing will be with all who work in harmony with His plans. Elder Haskell, you and your wife are engaged in a most excellent work. The study of the Bible prepares the mind and judgment to submit to its claims. Humility of mind and heart is of great importance. We are cheerfully to submit to the will of God as expressed in His Word. The mind and heart will be sanctified by the reception of truth. As self is surrendered, there will be a delight in doing the will of God. There will be a spirit of willing obedience. A much higher tone should have been given to the work, a more spiritual, healthful influence exerted. The Lord does not call to the position of shepherd those who do not carry a burden for the sheep of the flock. God says of such, "Thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting." I would be pleased, Elder Haskell, if you and your wife could unite with the workers of California in guiding our people amid the changes and turmoil, the violence and crime that are on every side. Keep firm hold on the power of the one who sees and knows, and who will enable you to give the trumpet a certain sound. Work intelligently, work disinterestedly. But I need not tell you this. You cannot well do otherwise, with the experience that you have had, and your knowledge of the Word of God. The work must not be hindered as it has been and God's people discouraged by the undue exercise of human authority. These words of the Apostle clearly reveal that there is given to God's servants a special work, to be done as the Spirit of God shall impress the heart and mind of the individual. All have not the same form of work to do. Let the workers lift the voice of rebuke against presumptuous rulership over God's heritage. We are safe only when we individually commit ourselves fully to works of righteousness. Then all, church members, and men of the world, will know where we stand. Our words and spirit will testify to the glory of God. In no case should men handling sacred responsibilities so misrepresent the Lord's purpose concerning His work as to say arbitrarily to a fellow worker, "You shall not do this," or "You must do that." By His Holy Spirit the Lord impresses His workers to go to certain places, and to do a certain work. He does not desire to have the human mind interpose itself to forbid any work that He has bidden shall be carried forward. If there are those who are deprived of the books, because of the price charged, then let a contribution be taken up for the benefit of those who cannot buy for themselves. Our publishing houses themselves can help in this matter by making gifts for the benefit of those who, unaided, could not procure the books. Let us never, by word or act, cast the reflection upon our publishing houses that they are not reliable. A great principle is involved here. We would have all respect paid to your long acquaintance with the work, and to your years of experience which have made you one of the pillars of the church. And those who have had such experience need ever to bear in mind that they must move wisely in order to hold the high esteem which this knowledge and this experience bring them. I ask you to study carefully the first chapter of James. It will bring light and encouragement to you. Let us walk carefully and prayerfully before the Lord, and He will direct us in all our ways. There is a matter about which I wish to speak to you. Sometimes you speak words to one another in the presence of others that are not wise. You adopt a little tantalizing way with one another, and speak words that will not provoke to love and good works. You mean no harm by this, but it is something that will not always be understood by those who hear it. I advise you to break this habit. You and Sister Haskell are united in doing a sacred work. You hold positions of grave responsibility. Sister Haskell is fully justified in always speaking respectfully to you. I know that you honor and respect one another. Let this honor and respect be revealed in all your words. Let your words and works glorify God. A word to the wise is sufficient. You are the Lord's workers, laborers together with Him. Ever strive to meet His approval. There is many a battle for you to fight. I wrote you these words that you may stand in the true moral dignity which it is your privilege to maintain before your associates. Let them see that you respect and appreciate one another. Then the Lord will look upon you with approval, and will own and bless you. I have confidence in you both, and I do not want you to cherish anything in your lives that is undignified, or do anything that you would not do were you in the presence of Christ. I am sincerely glad, my brother and sister, that you can work together so successfully for the circulation of our publications. This kind of work is to be appreciated, not only as something that will bring decided benefit to our own people, but because these books and periodicals contain clear presentations of present truth that will win many to the precious faith we hold. I would say to you, continue to exert your influence for the wider circulation of our publications. Make the truths coming from our press a power in proclaiming the message for this time. I have received and read your letters. I thank you for your painstaking efforts to write to me. You write the very news that I wish to hear. I am pleased to hear from you, and to know of your successful meetings. The good report is like cold water to a thirsty soul. Never should the mother manifest a hasty spirit in the correction of her child. She should form the habit of speaking in gentle tones. Great changes will be wrought in our families where such habits are formed. Can we not, Brother and Sister Haskell, give instruction to parents along these lines? I hope that you will do this. Do not give long discourses that will weary you. There are thousands hungering for the message of pure truth which sanctifies the soul. And Sister Haskell, you have a wise teacher of truth. You both have a wide understanding of the scriptures. But you will need to trust firmly in God. The Lord calls upon us as a people to occupy a position that is without fault before Him. You are one in the Lord. Guard yourselves and your influence, considering that you are to be instruments of the Lord for the carrying forward of His sacred work on the earth. Use your ability to accomplish decided movements of reform in the churches. Gather about you those who are true as steel to the principles of the third angel's message, and the Lord will be glorified in the work that is accomplished. Let every worker resolve that he will not fail nor be discouraged. Our religious obligations begin in serving God faithfully in the home life. I am urged to bear earnest testimony to parents in public and private, that they may be led to devote all their powers in sanctified service for Christ. I am instructed to urge upon our people the need of being imbued with the Spirit of God. This Spirit will teach believers to work in harmony with Christ whenever and wherever opportunity offers. As different families among our people have been presented before me, I have been shown their great need of the converting power of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we might have a pattern of true holiness. Let parents study the pattern, that they may become true laborers together with God for the salvation of their children. Religion in the home is of vital importance. Upon fathers and mothers rests to a large degree the responsibility for the mold of character that their children receive. The work done in the home is a work which in many cases will decide the welfare of the children through all eternity. If parents must neglect something, let it not be the work of molding the character after the divine similitude. If parents will teach their children to conduct themselves according to the principles of the Word of God, these children will unconsciously teach others what it means to be Christians. Let parents maintain true Christian dignity before their children, and they will be greatly aided in their work of upbuilding the kingdom of Christ. My brother and sister, the Lord has sustained you thus far, and He will continue to work for and through you while you walk by faith. I am sorry that you do not have all the help that you feel you should have, but you must not be discouraged because of this. If you realize the greatness of the trust committed to you, you will do your best, and having done this, will leave the rest with your Heavenly Father. The Lord does not ask you to carry burdens that are too heavy for you. He is not ignorant of the cares that weigh upon you. He knows the barrenness of the fields. Again and again He has pointed out to us their great need. But you will not honor Him by being over anxious. Give to God your faithful service, and then leave to Him the work you are unable to perform. He can inspire others to work unselfishly and cheerfully in His service that these barren places may be filled with trees of righteousness.